it, my peeps. Let's talk about something we've all struggled with at some point, setting boundaries. Now, have you ever said yes to something, even though every fiber of your being was screaming, no? Maybe you've agreed to just do a quick favor for somebody that turned into an all-day commitment, or you found yourself over-explaining why you can't do something when a simple I can't would have sufficed. Now, if this sounds familiar, I don't want you to worry, my peeps. You are not alone. This month on the show, we are talking all about taking initiative and creative risks. And believe it or not, setting boundaries is one of the boldest moves you can make. It's not about shutting people out. It's about showing up authentically in your work and your life. And today, okay, we are welcoming back to the show the most absolute perfect person to help us with this, Jay Fields. Now, Jay is a coach, educator, and an author who has spent over 20 years teaching people how to escape the cycles of overthinking, people-pleasing, and self-doubt. Now, nearly a million people have taken her courses on LinkedIn Learning, and today she is here to share her Hey, Wait framework, a simple yet powerful tool to help you set boundaries like a leader without the guilt or awkwardness. So if you ever wished you had a script for saying no without the sweaty palms, grab your coffee, put your phone on Do Not Disturb, and let's get into it. Welcome to Workday Playdate. Okay, Workday Playdate peeps. I am so thrilled to bring back to the show the one and only Jay Fields. Jay, welcome back.
Hello, hello. It's good to be back.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny because you were on the Improve It podcast and now you're on the Workday Playdate podcast, but you can still find it in the same RSS feed. So, so many pivots, which we're going to talk about today with you. And I know I told you this before we hit record, but every month on the show, we have an intention for the show. And this month, it's all about taking initiative and creative risks.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. I know you're going to take us
taking
somewhere so
initiative.
Cool. Oh, so what is a one word intention that you want to set for you, for this conversation? Where do you want to take it today? What's a one-word intention you want to give to you, me, or the audience, or all of us?
This just popped out. It was real. I want to be real. And that's part of why I love being here and coming back, because I know it can be real with you.
Yes.
I want to feel like me. I want to have a conversation that's grounded and that will actually be applicable to your peeps.
I love it. Oh my God, Jay, we are so glad that you're here. Because honestly, when I heard from you, I was like, man, yes, this theory, which we're going to just jump right into, this hey, wait technique sounds so cool. It's something that I know will resonate with the peeps. So let's just get into the basics. What is the hey, wait technique? And then how did you develop it?
Yeah, well, so it's kind of a little bit of magic I'm discovering. Ooh. It seems silly that it's just the two words, hey, wait. But I'm telling you, I've been using it. I've been using it with my clients and I'm watching it shift dynamics for people who tend to go into all of their exchanges as a people pleaser or as the like, I'm just going to go along to get along. So, hey, wait are the two words that you say anytime that you feel the conversation or the situation is moving in a direction that doesn't feel good to you. Like, you're disappearing or you're speeding up inside because you're like, oh, what do I actually say here? I got to come up with the perfect thing. So you say, hey, wait, you automatically buy yourself a beat, right? Mm. And in that beat, you pause, you connect to yourself and like, what is true for me here? What do I need to say? And you follow the words, hey, wait, with the word I, never the word you, because all of us people pleasers tend to have this thing where we're like, the best case scenario for me to have a good experience is if I control the other person.
Yes.
So we're going to stop doing that. Because the best case scenario for you to have a good experience of yourself is if you put yourself in the scenario and you have a reality and you have a point of view and you have an opinion. So, hey, wait, I don't agree. Hey, wait, I need you to go back over that because I lost you there. Hey, wait, I thought we were here to talk about the budget and we're getting off course. Can we come back to that? It's the thing that you say when you are going to break the pattern that you've had your whole life. And here's the pattern I'm going to tell you, because if you're a people pleaser in recovery, you know this too. And that is, you're asking to be considered.
Jay. Okay. And I told you this before too. I was like, okay, sometimes we do shows for the peeps. Today is for y'all and for me, because this is like, let me just say this. I have struggled with people pleasing my entire life. And I have done a lot of therapy and healing work to understand where it comes from. And now I know, but it's just a pattern that I go back to constantly, especially when stress is high. And I'm sure we have so many people leaders on this call who are in their role because they love people. They want to help people, but they also might please people at the same time. So it's as simple as, hey, wait.
So I'm going to throw it back to you, since this is about you today as well as the peeps. But like, if you imagine saying that, you're in a scenario where it's like something is going off the rails and it just doesn't feel good. And you know, you're about to do the thing where you people please and like fit to conform or say the thing somebody wants to hear. What comes up for you if you imagine saying, hey, wait, I.
Okay. The scenario today. Okay, I had a client ask me to do a tech check a little later than I want to, right? And so I was like, almost like, hey, yeah, I'll do it. But I think for me, the hey, wait, I would be, you know what? I prefer to do it earlier. And that gives me more comfort jumping on the stage later. Like, and I haven't responded. So Jay, you just changed a life today.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to do that. And yeah. I will say too, like, I do know a lot of the peeps who listen to this show struggle with perfectionism and people pleasing. I'm going to just say this as a mom, as a working mom, the amount of people pleasing I do, I feel like for my son who isn't able to manage his own social life right now is mm-hmm. also very hard because mm-hmm. I'm trying to please him and please the person who wants the play date and give up my own time to do these things. There's so many variables and ways that this could work because I know this also kind of deals with setting boundaries. And I would love to hear your answer to this. Why do people struggle with setting boundaries even though they know that they need them?
Well, so I'm going to go back to hey, wait, I'm going to answer that. But first I want to say, hey, wait, isn't just a tool. It's a mindset,
yeah.
right? Like it's an internal shift to, I get to matter too. Mm. It's the internal shift to when my son is here or when my client is with me or when I'm talking to my son's parents, their friends' parents, whatever, I still exist.
Yeah.
Because I think what happens to a lot of us, and I put myself in this boat, people pleasers and perfectionists, is when we're around other people, it's like we disappear. There's some kind of, we become this amorphous blob that is just about like making sure everything stays copacetic. And then you leave the room and you're like,
yes.
right? That sound comes out. So the boundaries thing. So the question is, you know, and this is where we can get deep into the psychology of it. But the quickest answer here that I can say is those of us who have a hard time setting boundaries, learned early on, we got trained from the people who raised us that if we want to have connection with someone else, we have to make sure the other person's comfortable. And so if we do something that we think might risk them being uncomfortable, it's not conscious, but our nervous system reads that as, I might risk connection. I might risk belonging. I might risk being accepted. And that is unacceptable. So we go along to get along. Like we do the thing where we're just going to keep saying what we think will keep the connection going, but we don't realize that's based on a totally false premise, that there is a reality in which you get to have connection with someone and not agree, or get to, I mean, and don't we need that message right now? right? Yeah. Like, and that you get to have connection with someone and they're disappointed, right? And this is where growing emotional maturity and relational maturity comes in, because we need to trust that other grownups are responsible for their own feelings and other grownups are responsible for their own reality. And we don't have to set ours aside to make sure that we try to get the crumbs of what we want in the situation.
Oh my God, Jay. Okay. Well, you just spoke to my soul. So, okay. Well, that made me, as you were talking, think about one of my best friends, and I've had her since I was like 18 years old, that my husband even recognizes, like, you people please. We'll call her Susan. Okay. And he's like, you are a people pleaser. It's something weird. It's just with Susan, like, out of all your friends, you just want to make her comfortable. You want, it's like almost this like me thing, but she's already my best friend. I don't know why. And I remember, I feel like I've been doing a lot of unpacking and healing work around this topic. And I saw her recently and that feeling sort of subsided, but I saw myself, I caught myself going back into the pattern of, well, let me make sure she's comfortable before I say this. And I just released that somehow subconsciously. But now that I have this hey, wait technique, I could even bring that to the forefront of when I feel myself going into that pattern. Hey, wait, what do I need?
Right. And, you know, when I'm working with clients, a huge part of what we do is we work on, what do you actually say after you say the hey, wait?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, wait, what do I say once I say hey, wait? And what I tell them all the time is, say what you just said to me. Meaning for you with Susan, it might sound like, hey, wait, I notice right now I'm about to do this thing where I'm going to try and make sure you're comfortable. And I'm doing that because I just, whatever, you know, I'm filling in the blank there. Like, I want to keep our bond strong. But what I actually need to say to you is this, right? So what you said to me is, I noticed I was about to do this thing. So you can just say that. Hey, Susan. Hey, wait. I noticed I was about to blank.
Yeah.
And that is the pivot. Like, when we call ourselves out on our old behaviors, it makes it easier to overcome them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or when we call ourselves out on our discomfort, hey, wait, this is hard for me to say. And then you say it. But if you don't say, this is hard for me to say, and you're like, you know, and you're like, I'm going to say this hard thing. And you go to say, I mean, I don't know if that resonates with you, but I do weird stuff when I'm
God. I'm so awkward.
Super,
so awkward.
I'm super nervous.
Jay,
and I try to say something like, but if I just say, hey, this makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Boom. I can say it.
Can I ask you this question? Because one of the things that we teach at Improve It, especially when it comes to communication, and this is like, I didn't make up this quote. It's a cheesy quote. I really don't even know who said it, but it's, pretend everyone has a sign around their neck that says, make me feel important. That quote
<That's> good.
is in my mind at the same time where I'm like, I'm not trying to give you all my energy and all the things that you want when I lose myself, right? So how do those two things coexist together?
I mean, you get to be important too.
Yeah.
Just because someone else is important doesn't mean you're not. It's like when I used to teach yoga, I used to tell people, I would say, imagine that you could feel like where your energy is in your own body. Like you feel where your skin is and that, and within that is your own energy. And then imagine that you could expand your energy beyond yourself. And it can overlap with everybody else in this room. You taking up as much space as you can does not take away from someone else's ability to do the exact same thing. So one aspect of it is just understanding it's not about one person gets to be important and the other person doesn't. One person gets to be right and the other person's wrong. One person gets to be good and the other person's bad. One person gets to be strong and the other one weak. Like this dichotomous black and white bullshit is what perfectionists do. I am default black and white in my brain. But to go to that place of, no, Aaron right now has a reality. Jay as a reality. We're here together, and those two things can overlap. They can take up space together, and we don't have to push each other out to win the space and win the conversation.
I love it.
And can you feel that? I mean, like, it's a felt experience.
Yes, yes, yes. And I love that, like, you're not encouraging even with the, hey, wait, it's like the opposite of playing small. It's take up as much space as you possibly can and still acknowledge that other people can share that space together. And
yeah, and here's the thing. Us people pleasers, we have empathy in spades. That is not our weakness.
Right.
So
right.
You can still communicate and keep your empathy intact. Like, you can still say, hey, wait, I imagine this might be hard for you to hear. And this is what's true for me, right? Like, you can still keep that, the make the other person feel important, make them feel seen, make them feel understood. Keep that. I'm not saying throw that out, because you'll never do it if you feel like you have to throw that out.
Right, right.
But add yourself into the mix, for goodness sake.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Jay. We needed that. You know who needed that? Me. But all of us needed that today. So, I mean, and I will say, I can generally feel when that the cup is dry, you know, when I have overgiven, when I have given so much of myself and need to refuel myself, I now know, like, okay, you've crossed the boundary mark. You have literally given so much that you have forgotten yourself in this process. And I'd love to never get to that point. I'd love to be like, I'm included always, right? So the hey, wait is something I personally am taking back with me. And I know you mentioned you've worked with thousands of successful empathetic individuals who deeply value their relationships. And I want to know, is there any unexpected thing that they all have in common when it comes to setting boundaries, or even when it comes to the hey, wait theory? What is there anything they have in common?
Well, the one thing that all of my clients have in common, and it doesn't normally come out right away, but I can see it in there, and eventually they almost all say it, and that is, you know, relationships are the number one most important thing to them in their lives. That's how they organize everything around connection and meaning. And yet they'll say at some point, my relationships are a burden.
Oh my God. Jay, are we like supposed to talk today?
I mean,
oh my God. I am your client. I am your ideal client right here. Holy,
all right, let's sign up. Let's do this.
Talkie mushrooms. Okay, keep going on that rabbit hole, because guess who needs it? Me. Okay.
Well, oh my okay. God. And let me just say here, all this stuff I'm able to speak because I am also my ideal client.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I'm not just the hair club president. Like, yes. I am in it. Yeah, it's the sense of, like, if you let your relationships be that important, and not even let them, if that's just how you're wired, like, your default is relationships are important, but you don't know how to keep yourself, how not to lose yourself when you're around other people, relationships feel really dang heavy. And you do the a lot where, you know, you get the email or you get the text and you're like, what am I supposed to do here? Because the automatic thing that any of us people pleasing perfectionists think when we see that someone that we care about has a need or has a big feeling or whatever it is like, oh, I gotta handle this. I gotta take, and it doesn't matter what your stuff is. It's like, I gotta set this aside. And this is the piece that they all have in common. It's like, it's kind of like the dirty secret where, like, can I just tell you something? Because I just feel really burdened by all my relationships.
Can I just yes and you on this? Because well, I just finished the Let Them Theory with Mel Robbins, which also this kind of, hey, wait, is like, I love that it's simple, two words. Hey, wait, it's going to be the new Let Them. I just feel it. I'm just going to say that right now. Exclusive, breaking news. Okay. Okay. So my friends listen to this show. Sorry, you're going to hear some truth. I truly sometimes will look at my phone, and because, you know, group chats are things, and I've got family group chats and friend group chats, and I will do, you know, an hour or two of work and look at my phone and I'll have about 60 text messages, unread texts from these chats going off. And I want to throw my phone through a wall. I literally, if you could, if there are some days I want to put my phone in the toilet and just be like, oops, I can't get a hold of me. And then I've got my Slack channel blowing up and I love my team, but I got, that's my priority when I'm at work. And I love my family and I love my friends. My husband said to me recently, if I hear you complain about your friendships and your relationships one more time, he goes, you should feel grateful. And I'm like, I feel so grateful. I also, as a friend, give so much and I want, and I also receive so much as well. But
yes.
I had to set boundaries in my own life as a people pleaser. And so one of the ways I've worked on that, Jay, and I'm just telling you this because I am that person who is like, I love relationships, need them, like super, you know, high relationship human on every personality quiz that you could give me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At the same time, it is what keeps me awake at night is how have I shown up for these people. And I've now had I have a new thing. I check text messages for 10 minutes at 8:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., 4:30 p.m., and 8 p.m. And then I'm done. And then I'm done. And I'm like, and that's what I can give today. And that's basically an hour.
Right. And I imagine that in doing that, you don't have to imagine the dream of putting your phone in the toilet.
I some days that seems like the best dream.
And that has nothing to do with them.
Right.
It has to do with you making it work for you.
Right.
And that is what this is all about. I mean, and look, I've heard a million people talk about this before, and I talk about it every day with my clients, and I still need to be reminded of this every day. Because this is like deep in us conditioning that we have to take care of everyone. And you put yourself as a woman in your 40s with aging parents and kids and grandkids and all the things, and you're running a business and you, right?
Y'all can't see my praise hands, but I'm giving her praise hands. Okay. Okay.
I mean, I'm telling you, I get it. And the more people that you love, and the older that you get and the more responsibilities that you have, the bigger this feels. And you have to figure this shit out, or else this is burnout. This is blowing up relationships. This is, you know, just making decisions that are snap out of I'm just fed up.
Yeah.
And that's what no one wants to do.
No.
But you get to that place.
Oh my God.
And so for everyone who's like, I can't imagine saying, hey, wait, and like actually asking to be considered, I'll say, well, what's more tolerable, thinking of doing that or thinking of getting to the place where you're completely burned out, or you shock yourself one day by saying something so mean to somebody that you really love that you're like, ah, like what's worse?
Oh my God. Jay, I'm sending this episode to every one of my friends. Truly, I'm telling you right now, but my hands were praising you because we know the demographic who listens to this show are mostly 30s and 40s, and we have men and women, but a lot of women, and we all carry this invisible load with us every day as parents. Like you mentioned, owning a business, you can be in a team, you can lead a team of people, you're still feel responsible for those people. You could lead an organization or a community or an association and still feel responsible. And then you've got, as you mentioned, aging parents. And for me right now, I'm in a stage with my son where I'm managing his social life too. So
sure.
Like, it's a lot. And so I really love that you gave us that commonality, because I feel so seen right now. Like I can't even tell you how seen, and I'm sure so many people feel the same way. Hey, Workday Playdate peeps. Okay, quick pause, because I have to tell you about one of our most loved workshops, Taking Initiative and Creative Risks. Now, let's be real. Growth happens when we step outside our comfort zones. And that's why we've created this high-energy, interactive experience built on our golden formula, a safe space plus taking creative risks equals change. Now, our seasoned improv facilitators will help your team embrace new ideas, take bold action, and communicate like never before. We tailor everything to your needs in person. We are rocking for 2 hours with up to 100 participants, and virtually it's 90 minutes of laughs and learning for up to 50 people. Are you ready to energize your team? Let's make it happen. Visit learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com, or check the show notes to learn more. That's what I said. Learn. Can't wait to hear from you. Now back to the show. I want to talk about a little bit more about, hey, wait, but also this idea, because we're a very yes and, you know, company, but a no to something that isn't a fuel for our soul is a yes to ourselves, right? So for those of us who are, right, those recovering people pleasers, how can we practice saying no in a way that feels natural and aligned with who we are? Is it the, hey, wait, is there something else we should do? Help us, Jay.
I can feel you reaching through the computer to shake my lapels.
Shake my phone. Shake it all. No.
Well, in terms of setting boundaries, I think it goes back to that thing that I was saying earlier around communicating in a way that you keep your empathy intact. So the way that I find, as someone who is terrified of setting boundaries still, I mean, I freaking teach this stuff, Erin, and it's like, Oh, right. Okay, I can do this. I find that if I start with the other person, it helps. So again, saying like, I know how important this is to you, and I really, really want to be able to be there for you. Right. So you're already doing the thing of, I see you, I feel you, I love you. And then saying, bringing it back to you, right? Because there's two realities here. Then you say, and I just can't imagine being able to do that and with all the other things I have on my plate right now.
Jay? Okay, I'm doing lots of head nods. Now my camera moves with me.
That's a sophisticated camera. I thought you were banging out with your head.
So, okay. I'm freaking out because... Literally, I wrote a book called I See You. Been there, done that, wrote the book, right? Like, literally, this is like, this is, when I say the sign is around the neck, that is like my life's work. So that speaks to me because it's like, I see what you need. I'm still validating you. However, I'm important too. Hey, wait, I. And hey, wait. Here's what I need. Jay, this is the new Let Them. You have just developed the. If this isn't a book by 2026, like, I don't know what's
working on it.
Okay,
working on it. Yep.
Thank you. But like, I truly, that hits. That just hits for me because, for me, saying no is like, oh, I've gotten way better at it because I've just had to do it a lot more in my life. And I think the older you get, the more responsibilities you have, the more you have to learn this, right? Like you can, and early on as an early business owner, I was doing stuff I never wanted to do, but I just felt like I had to do it for somebody else. And now I'm just like, nope. And now I'm okay with it. It's easy for me to say no when I don't have a relationship to that person or like a personal connection. If somebody out of the blue asks me something and I don't have time, no. However, if there is a relationship there, the no for me becomes really hard because it's the people pleasing. Like I'm letting them down. So that I see you. I see what you need.
And this is hard for me to say.
Yeah.
I mean that you get to put that in there as well. So here's the like the underlying fundamentals of this.
Yes.
There's two realities, right? And most of us unconsciously got raised on this belief that there's one reality. When you and I are in a room, one of us gets to win.
Yeah.
And the other one gets to go along. Or one of us gets to be the one who has the power in the dynamic and the other person is just playing small, right? That's false. This is back to that you're important, I am important too. So the reason why I say that is what makes boundaries hard, in addition to what we've already talked about, is if you think there's only one reality and you're like, oh shit, Erin's asked me to do this thing and I can't do it. I will default to kind of being hard about my own reality, like where I feel like I have to fight. I have to have a little edge to say no, because when there's only one reality, the way you win is you fight.
Yeah.
But if there's two realities and I can remember that, then I acknowledge yours. I speak for mine. And then I ask you what that's like for you. Right? Like,
I love that. I love it. We don't exist in the same reality.
No.
Because you got a whole set of stuff behind you that I can't see. And I got a whole set of
right.
stuff
And the
me.
Beauty of that is if you and I exist in separate realities, we can actually have a relationship.
Yeah.
If we're doing the thing where we're trying to coexist in one reality where one of us gets to win out, one of us has power, one of us does, that's not a relationship.
Yeah.
That's an attachment.
Hmm.
Right? Mm. That's codependence.
Yes.
Which, Yay! You know, I hate saying but it's true. Like that isn't a relationship. A relationship is two things, people relating.
Oh my God. Okay. This is getting into it because I want to talk about work culture. Everybody here is in some type of environment where they're leading somebody in some space. You don't have to have a direct report, but you're a leader of a home, you're a leader of a community organization. So how can someone who identifies as a leader encourage a workplace where these boundaries are respected and not seen as a weakness? Because I think a lot of times, especially in a work setting, when we say no to a boss or somebody who leads us, it's hard, right? How do we apply this up?
Well, I think it's really getting this idea that if there's two people, there's two realities. If there's three people, there's three realities and so on and so on. So that when you're just in your everyday communication with people, there's a more natural invitation to have someone's reality be acknowledged. Or what's this like for you? Or I've noticed this, Erin, what did you see? So you're starting to just kind of plant seeds that there really is a respect for each and every person's experience and point of view, because that, believe it or not, really does set the groundwork for someone being able to feel like I can say something that is different than what you would think or hear or want, because I've already been kind of invited into this culture where this is how we speak.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And it starts at the top. I mean, you have to be able to say, like, I will say this, for a long time, feedback from my team that wasn't positive, I'm not going to lie, was hard. But now it's a welcome space, right? Like, we have to create this space where everybody feels like they can say no, or they can rebuttal in a way that feels good, which to us is this whole concept of yes and on the improv stage, right? But it's not even agreeing. It's like, I hear you and...
Yes, right. It's not agreeing. It's except this is real. I see that.
Yes.
And this is true.
Right. Those two realities. I love it. Okay. So Jay, if somebody listening today wants to start implementing this technique immediately, what's one small, powerful action they could take today? What's something like when they get off this podcast, they're like, I am doing this right now. What is it?
I love the gritted teeth.
They're doing this right now.
Well, I want them to look for a hey, wait opportunity for themselves today. And here's how they're going to know. The first step to using hey, wait is noticing when you're having a bad experience of yourself around someone else.
Mm.
And what I mean by that, and maybe you can already figure that out, you're having a bad experience because your wheels are turning inside, like, oh, what am I going to say here? How do I make this better? Or you find you're doing the tongue tie, just freeze. You just go, I have no idea what to say here. Or you're getting mad inside and you're like, oh, I'm going to have to cover this up because I got to say something kind, right? Anytime that you find yourself not liking what your insides feel like when you're around someone else, that is an opportunity to say, hey, wait. And first you say it to yourself, right? Internally, you're like, hey, wait, I'm not having a good experience right now. What do I need? Or what is true for me? And then you make it out loud. That's a third step. The third step is, hey, wait, I, to someone else. Because now you've identified it ain't feeling good to you. You've identified what's actually true in your reality. And now you know what to say after the I. It's just whatever's true for you.
Oh my God, I love it, Jay.
And so this is their homework. Look for those moments.
Look for those moments. And I got to tell you, you know what you were mentioning, like your body feels it. Your body is probably, and it took me a long time to really have this mind-body connection, to really understand like, oh, my palms are sweaty. Like my back is sort of aching at this moment. Like my stomach feels churny. Those moments when your nervous system feels out of whack are like clear signs and indicators that you should use this technique.
Absolutely. And for the people who don't know me out there, I am a somatic coach, which means that when I work with people, I work at the level of your embodied self-awareness and your nervous system. Because all of this stuff, so the Hey Wait tool works because it's something, it's only two words. You're like, what? Oh yeah, Hey Wait. It works because it's simple enough to reach for it. And the way to really bolster it is to grow your embodied self-awareness and to know how to regulate your nervous system in moments where you're like,
oh, and God.
That's the whole bigger part of the work. So if somebody's like, I love this and I think I can do it, but I could use some more support. That's what the support looks like. It looks like, let's get in your body. Let's get the internal resources on board to do this. And let's untangle all the weird ass conditioning you got for what it means to be a good person in relationships. Because I'm telling you right now, it's wrong.
Yeah.
People pleasing isn't being a good person in relationships.
It's not.
It's just not. But that's what a lot of us were taught.
Wait, so do you do the somatic work online or is it only person in person as well? Okay, so we're going to, my first question before we go is, where can people find you? Where can they find you? Because I have done somatic work before and it is life-changing. And I did not know you could do this online. So Jay, tell them all the things. And when the Hey Wait book's coming out in 2026, because now it's a thing.
Okay, well, so here's some things. You can find me at my website, which is jmoonfields.com. I'm on Instagram after a 6-year hiatus. I'm back. Thanks in large part to Erin, to your amazing videos. I was like,
what?
I can show up like this. So thank you for that. So people can find me and it's going to be easy. Hey, wait with Jay.
Hey, wait with
Jay. So that's Hey, Wait with Jay on Instagram. And the Hey Wait podcast is coming out end of April because this is happening, Erin. Like the more I've used this tool, the more I've talked to people like you and who are like me, they're like, this is it. This is game changing. I can use this. I just want to spread the word. So the podcast is coming. The book is coming. The ecosystem of Hey Wait is out there. And I'm just inviting any of your peeps who want to come play to do that.
Go find Jay. Go Hey Wait with Jay. You want to play? Go to Hey Wait with Jay. Also, I'm happy to be like a little case study. I'm going to try this out for you. I'm going to do it because this like spoke to my soul.
Good.
So
I love it.
Okay. Now we know where to find you. Everybody, please go and love Jay on all of the things. And we will, when you have the book, we'll have you back on the show. Okay. The third time. The third time you're coming back. But I'm here for it because this is awesome, awesome, awesome. And it's something that's tangible and super boiled down and easy to remember, but super helpful in life. So my last question is, how are you going to make your workday more playful today?
Well, I mean, it's already started out playful because this is the beginning of my workday. And I was like, if I get to start out talking with Erin, I just feel like that already sets me in this.
Yes.
You know, can't see me, I'm doing my little dance in my chair. Like, I can do this. So I'm actually, the next thing that's up for me is I'm recording a podcast, a solo podcast, which I don't like doing. It's the like, I'm talking about relating and I'm sitting in a room talking to nobody. And so that's really hard. And so for me, I'm going to bring playfulness into it by remembering what it felt like to have you here. And I'm going to pretend you're just right on the other side of my computer camera that's staring at me, and I'm going to be more playful because of it.
I love it.
And thank you for the question.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because
I'm your ideal client. So that I love that. Because when I do solo, I just also did a solo show for this show before we chatted. And I pretend that my best friend is listening because she really does. She's also a, you know, ideal client, and I try to give her what she needs. So I love that. Like, you can feel that come through, you know?
It's true.
You really can't.
So you're going to be my avatar today.
Yes. Well, listen, your intention was to keep it real. And I think we did like 100. And I'm just so glad to have you back. And I hope all the peeps go support you, because it's so fun to watch things come to life. Like, I'm going to follow your journey at Hey Wait Jay to see you write this book and the podcast, because this is an exciting thing. You're doing great work for this world. So keep it up. And we're so grateful to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Erin. Always a pleasure.
Okay, y'all. If you've been nodding along thinking, wow, I really needed this, here's your challenge for the week. Jay gave us one. I'm going to make sure that you take this home and put it into action. So the next time someone asks you for something, before you give an automatic yes, pause, take a deep breath, and simply say, hey, wait, I. That's it. Give yourself time to just check in with what you actually want. No knee-jerk yeses, no people-pleasing autopilot, just a moment to make a conscious choice. I want you to remember, boundaries aren't about keeping people out. They're about keeping you in alignment with your values, your energy, and your highest and best self. So if you love today's episode, go check out Jay's work. She has got some amazing resources, and I know you'll want to dive in deeper. And if this episode resonated with you, do me a favor, send it to a friend who needs a little boundary setting magic in their life. I'm already sending this to like 10 people in my life. So, okay, my beautiful boundary setting rock stars, I want you to go out there, take initiative, take creative risks, and most importantly, take care of you. Remember that every workday is a playdate waiting to happen. I'll see you next time.